Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, may we never take it lightly, but as it is the word of the living God, I ask you, Father, that today your word will accomplish what you sent it to do, and I believe that it does, Father. I believe we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Get your faith up. Get your faith up. You know, it's strange that faith is a controversial subject. Like faith can be a bad thing. We need to have faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, there's certainly been some misconceptions about faith and even some errors in teaching regarding faith. But make no mistake about this, we need to have faith. Yes. Have faith in God. Listen, without faith, you can't even have a relationship with God. 1 Peter 1:8 tells us that we love whom we haven't seen. And not seeing Him, yet we believe. It's by faith that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, you can't even be saved. Ephesians 2:8 says that it is by grace we are saved through faith. Faith is the key. Faith is the key not only to being saved, being born again, to having a relationship with God, but to so many of the blessings. It is the key to answered prayer. It is the key to miracles happening in our lives. It's faith. The Bible tells us that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. And I'm telling you, amongst believers today, y'all hearing that? Believers. Most believers are walking by sight, acting too much like the world. But we are, listen, this is our lifestyle, our way of life, that we walk by faith. We live by faith. It's 2 Corinthians 5:7, by the way. Galatians 3:9 says that we are those who are of faith. We are blessed with believing Abraham. You see, it is because we're those of faith that we are blessed. Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not from faith is sin. Really? That's what the Bible says. Whatever is not from faith is sin. I tell you, church, we need to get our faith up. We need to get a deeper understanding of what faith is, and we need to walk in it and live in it every single day of our life. 1 Timothy 6:12 tells us that we are to fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight to believe, to have faith, to trust God. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lust. Oh, we've all heard that one. How about the rest of the verse? Pursue. Now you're going to run from youthful lust. What are you going to go after? You pursue after righteousness, faith, love, peace. Are you pursuing after faith? I want to challenge you this morning. Get your faith up. Pursue after faith. Don't be content, but pursue after it. The Bible says pursue faith. Hebrews 11 lists out many great men and women of God, and it tells what they did, the miracles that God did in and through their lives. But this is how it begins to tell about each one. It says, by faith. What are you going to do? By faith. What would be said about your life? By faith. What did you do? I'm telling you, we need to get our faith up. Faith is the key to victory. It's the key to how we overcome. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever's born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. That's how you overcome. It's faith. You got to get your faith up. Faith is so much a part of what Jesus taught. When Jesus began His ministry, what did He do?
What did he preach? What did he say? Now, most people, if you said, now what was the summation of Jesus teaching and preaching? I'm telling you, you get all kinds of ideas and all kinds of pretty flowery statements. But here in Mark 1, 14 and 15, listen to what it says. John was put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, what was he saying when he began his ministry? The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Here's his message. Repent and believe the gospel. Listen, he wasn't just talking about repent of your sins. Certainly that's part of it. But he's talking about repenting from unbelief. He's talking about having a change of attitude, a change in your mind, and believe the good news. Now that's good news. Listen, Jesus came with a good message. Believe the good news. You know, there are a lot of people today that just seem to be resistant to believe the good news. I'm not just talking about being born again. I'm talking about you say things like, you know what? God wants to bless you and take care. He'll supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Well, I just don't know if I believe that. You don't have to be sick. God wants to heal you. Well, I don't know about that. So, you know, now wait a minute, brother. They're resistant to believing the good news. Jesus came saying, repent and believe the good news. I'm telling you, he came preaching faith, preaching that people should believe. You know, if you begin to read the Gospels and see what Jesus did, and pay attention to what he said, it is amazing how much faith is a part of everything. This morning, I want to just take a brief skim through the book of Matthew. And I'm going to try to leave Mark and Luke and John alone as much as possible. We're just going to take a brief skim through the book of Matthew. I'm not going to read the whole book to you, but we're just going to kind of skim through some of it. In Matthew 6, 30 and 31, Jesus tells us why people worry. It is because they have little faith. You want to know why? Well, let's just make it personal this morning. You know what? You want to know why you're stressed out and upset and anxious? You want to know why I get worried and upset and stressed out and anxious? You know what it's all about? Not having enough faith. We need to get our faith up. When a centurion soldier asked Jesus to heal his servant, in Matthew 8 and 13, Jesus says, "As you have believed, so let it be done to you." Oh, well, you know, that's a really good idea. You know what? That's a nice thing. I think I'll heal your servant because that would just be a nice thing to do. No, he said, as you have believed. You better get your faith up. Are you praying for somebody? If you're going to bother to pray for somebody, then get your faith up because Jesus said, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And he healed that man's servant because that man believed. As you have believed, so let it be done to you. Now, if Jesus was to say that to us this morning, would we be comfortable with that? If he, in regard to your prayer and the miracles, the things that you're believing God for in your life, if he came to you and he said, as you have believed, so let it be done to you. I want to get my faith up. Because if that's the way that God deals with me and operates in this world, then I want to cooperate. Amen. I want to have faith to believe for all that he wants to do in my life. Matthew chapter 8, a little bit later, when the disciples are caught out on the lake in a storm. And now, you know, it must have been a bad storm because some of these guys lived out on the lake. They were fishermen. But the storm came up and they were afraid for their lives. And in verse 26, Jesus said, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Again, faith is the key issue. Storm comes in your life. Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? You see, when problems come and it may seem terrible, it might look like you're about to die. That's what these guys thought. But we don't have to be fearful. Instead, we should have faith. Don't look at the circumstances. Instead, look at Jesus and look at the Word and believe God. Have faith. Matthew 9 and verse 2, they brought to him a paralytic on a bed, and Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith. He forgave the man's sins and then healed him. But how did it start? He saw their faith. By their actions and what they did, he saw their faith. Well, what about the paralytic who was laying at home somewhere in another place in another time? Wasn't their need just as great? But Jesus saw their faith. I'm telling you, church, faith is the key. And we, listen, if we have real faith, a real and living faith, then our actions will show it and God will see our faith. And He responds to that. He responds to faith. Matthew chapter 9, a little later, when the woman with the issue of blood was healed, in verse 22, Jesus says to her, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you whole." You see, over and over and over in the ministry of Jesus, when these miracles are happening, He says something about faith. A few verses later, Matthew 9, 27, two blind men following Jesus, crying out to Him, "Have mercy on us." He says, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" What's the key here? Do you believe I'm able to do this? "Yes, Lord. According to your faith, let it be to you." I'm telling you, it is according to our faith. Can we believe? That's the key. Can we believe? Because if the Lord says, "According to your faith, let it be done to you," if He says that to us in regard to our prayers and the things that we're believing for, blessings, miracles, "According to your faith, let it be done to you," then I want to get my faith in gear. I want to get my faith up. I want to be really believing God, not just sort of, kind of. Listen, we need to realize that in this world, we are being influenced, we are being impacted daily by an unbelieving, secular, skeptical society. And unless you as a Christian purpose to keep your faith strong and build up your faith, you will get swept away in this tide of unbelief. And you might have faith to barely make it into heaven, but you're not going to see much of the blessings of God in your life unless you get your faith up. Amen. According to your faith, let it be to you. Wow. There's a principle that you're just seeing over and over and over in the Gospels, that what we receive from God is according to our faith. Listen, it's not what you wish for. It's not even what you prayed for unless you believed. It's according to your faith. It's not what you need. It's not how desperately you cry out. It's according to your faith. Do you believe? Do you believe I'm able to do this, He says? Then according to your faith, let it be to you. We see it in the ministry of Jesus over and over in regard to healings and deliverances. But faith is also the key issue. Listen, when He cursed the fig tree and it died, afterward He told the disciples, "Have faith in God." They were amazed. "Lord, you cursed the fig tree. Look, it's all dried up. It's dead now." And He says, "Have faith in God." About 25 years ago, when I was young and dumb, foolish enough just to believe God, out in the country, somebody built a bar, a little shack of a bar, a dump. And it just bugged me. It was a half a mile from my parents' house out in the country. A half a mile. They never said anything about it, but it sure bugged me. And so as Carmen and I were driving to see them one day, we went by that bar. We just prayed against that bar. We didn't pray some big, long, fancy prayer. It was probably a 10-second prayer. But we prayed, we cursed that bar in Jesus' name. I think it was the very next time we went to see them. Just a few months later, we drove by that place and it was burned to the ground. True story. Well, the other day, last Sunday, we had a pool party at my house, Sunday afternoon. Started raining right about the time it started. Little thunderstorms were popping up. And Robert said, "Pastor, why don't you pray over the food and pray we'll have good weather too." So I did just that. I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, we ask you for good weather. We'll be able to have fun and have a good time." There are at least 20 people that witnessed this. Now, some may not have really noticed, but I'm telling you, there were several of us that did. It was pretty bizarre. It was raining on half my yard and not on the other half. Not for just 10 seconds, but for about 5 minutes, it was raining on my garden and not on my pool. Oh, that's just one of those strange coincidences. Listen, people in America today, even believers, put more faith in chance and coincidence than they do God. I'm telling you, that's a blessing. That was a miracle. That was a God honored our prayer. Peter walked on the water and began to sink. Matthew 14:31, Jesus says to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Listen, whenever you're doing something that you don't really have the ability to do, you better believe God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. How can you do that? It's by faith. That's how. Don't doubt, but trust Him. He says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Matthew 15, a woman whose daughter was demon-possessed asked Jesus to heal her. And the end result of that is Jesus says in verse 28, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." Why? Because she had great faith. She had a persistent faith. She wasn't going to be dissuaded or turned away. He said, "Great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." Now, there's one in Matthew 17 we're going to come back to in a few minutes. Matthew 21, when Jesus cursed that fig tree. And I mentioned this one already. And the disciples were so amazed. He says, "Assuredly, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but if you say to the mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' it will be done. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." What's the key to answered prayer? It is having faith and not doubting. He says, if you believe and don't doubt. We need to get our faith up so that we don't doubt. See, you can't just get doubt out. You got to get faith in. You got to replace it with something. And he says, if you believe and don't doubt, you'll have what you're praying for. What's the key? Faith. Matthew 23. This is the last one, all right? We're going to stop with this one in Matthew 23. Well, we're going to go back to Matthew 17. But Matthew 23... this one isn't a miracle, but it just shows us something, what Jesus thinks about faith. Matthew 23, in fact, I'm going to read 23:24. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." By the way, some people seem to be a little confused about whether or not tithing is a New Testament teaching. Jesus said that you should have done these and also done the former. You should have done both. blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. But what did he say? The weightier matters of the law are justice, mercy, and faith. Here's an important matter of the law. Faith. We got to believe God. Jesus says it's important. He says, have faith in God. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Now take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Pastors are supposed to be apt to teach. So everybody say, teach, Pastor.
Teach, Pastor.
All right. Lord, anoint me and help me. Amen. Because we need to get our faith up. We need to learn some things this morning.
Amen.
Let's go to verse 15. Man comes to Jesus. He says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Now this man's son would just fall into the fire, fall into the water. He would just fall down all the time. He had an epileptic condition, and it was very dangerous to him because he could fall into a fire, fall into the water. Brings him to the disciples, and he says they couldn't cure him. Then Jesus answered, and we just need to see what Jesus said here because it's pretty strong. Sometimes we need it pretty straight. I mean, sometimes if we're going to change, it's got to hit us right in the face. Especially when we've been the same for a long time. Especially when we've had some philosophies and teachings of men and some doctrines and some traditions, religious traditions that have been ingrained to our heart and mind. I'm telling you, that's why I'm sharing so much scripture with you this morning, because we need to tear down some strongholds. If we're going to really get our faith up, we got to tear down some strongholds of doubt and unbelief. But here's what he says. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. Perverse generation. That just sounds a little strong to me, Jesus. You ought to leave that for John the Baptist, somebody else to say. You should say nice things. Calling people a perverse generation. I'm telling you that Jesus would say the same thing today. Faithless and perverse generation. How were they faithless and perverse? Now, don't separate the two. He's not talking about two different issues. Well, they're faithless and they're perverse. He's talking about the same issue. Faithless and perverse. You see, that word perverse, it means crooked, distorted, twisted. What had they perverted? I'm telling you, they had perverted the conception of who God is and what He's like. They had perverted the conception of what God wants to do in people's lives. You see, here's this young boy with this condition. Well, the disciples couldn't cure him. Jesus says, faithless and perverse generation. You see, that same attitude is still here today where people don't know. Well, you know, maybe God just wants them to be sick. That's perverted. Faithless and perverse. Well, maybe He will, maybe He won't. We never know. It's just up to God. That is faithless and perverse. It is a twisted, distorted teaching that undermines faith. We need to build our faith and get our faith up over and over and over throughout the Gospels. It's according to your faith. Let it be done to you. Because of your faith, you're healed. Over and over. We need to take responsibility to believe God. Faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? Did Jesus really say that to people? How long do I have to? Yeah, to put it in crass terms, that's exactly what he was saying. How long do I have to put up with you guys? How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Why is he so upset? Because here is a young man who needs to be healed. The provision is there for him to be set free. And yet they don't believe. Faithless and perverse. And what twisted, distorted teachings are keeping us from really believing God, from really taking God at His Word. I'm telling you, there's so much of the key. If we're going to believe God, if we're going to see miracles and blessings and answers to our prayer, then we got to get rid of the faithlessness and the perverse, distorted misconceptions about God and who He is and what He's like and what He wants to do in the lives of people. Amen. It upset Jesus. I'm telling you, we should be upset about it. Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon. You see, Satan's behind it. Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He says very plainly, "Because of your unbelief." Simple as that. One reason, one answer. Because of your unbelief. Well, it's because you guys haven't arrived yet. Listen, if we got to arrive, there's never any of us going to believe God for anything. It's because you're not super spiritual enough. No, it is simply this. Because of unbelief, because of your unbelief, you couldn't do it. For I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. If you just get in line, get your thinking in line, get your heart in line with God's Word, and you agree with Him, you believe what He said, listen, just faith is a grain of mustard seed. Nothing's impossible. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, some people want to put the focus here on, well, the key then is that you got to have prayer and fasting is how you get devils out. Listen, prayer and fasting has to do with unbelief. It has to do with driving out the unbelief. It has to do with getting your faith up. You see, when you pray and you fast, you get your old flesh, the old carnal mind that can't please God, you get it under subjection to your spirit. When you fast and pray, it helps you to get your eyes, your spiritual eyes, onto Jesus, onto the Word. It makes the things of this world less real to you and the things that are unseen more real to you. It humbles you and brings a dependence and a reliance upon God when you fast and pray. When you fast and pray, it cures what he said the problem was. Why couldn't we cast it out? Because of your unbelief. Fast and pray. You see, when you fast and pray, then you are prepared. You're ready for what comes your way. Now, I want to back up into this passage again because there's so much here. We just need to see this. Jesus has already commissioned these disciples. In fact, if you go back to Matthew 10, we're in Matthew 17. If you go back to Matthew 10, early on in his ministry, he sends the 12 out, and in chapter 10 and verse 1, it says this, "He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease." Does that cover this boy's condition? Yes. Very plainly, because it was inspired, it was demonic inspired, a demon was the issue, the problem here, and this sickness of epilepsy that this young man had was one of those diseases that Jesus said to cure. He has already commissioned them. He's already given them authority. But I wonder what faithless and perverse thoughts and attitudes they encountered that undermined their faith to believe what Jesus had said. Well, you know, maybe that was just for back then. I'm not talking about for us. I'm talking about the disciples. Maybe that was just when he sent us out that time. It won't work now. Maybe it's only for certain kinds of diseases and things like the ones we can't really see. Well, this one is, this is right in your face. What kind of perverse teachings did they have to deal with that caused them to not believe? Jesus commissioned them. He gave them authority. And you see, here it is with the 12. He tells them very plainly, cast out devils, heal the sick. He tells them, verse 8 of chapter 10, freely you receive, now freely give. Go out and do it. And here they are in chapter 17, and they can't believe God to do it. Why? Because their faith has been torn down. They don't believe. There's some kind of teachings, some kinds of thought process that has undermined their faith. And the same thing is so prevalent today with all of this heretical garbage that says, well, that was just for back then. Well, God only does that sometimes. Well, you can't really believe that way. Well, that's only for certain people, for this one and that one, but not for everybody. Well, it's not really up to you. You know, it's just for whoever God decides to do that to. I'm telling you, all of these teachings undermine faith. It is perverse and distorted. And because of that, the disciples didn't believe what Jesus had told them back in Matthew chapter 10. He gave them the authority to do it. And I'm telling you, church, the same Jesus commissioned us in Mark chapter 16 and sent us out. Don't allow people to undermine your faith by saying, oh, well, that was just for back then, or that's only for certain people. No, we need to get our faith up and take God at His word. That's really what faith is when you take God at His word. Don't call God a liar. Don't think He's deceiving you. His word is truth. We need to stand on the word. We need to believe God. That's having faith. See, one of those popular distortions about faith is faith just comes on you like a feeling. Well, I just don't have any faith. Well, get you some. Well, I just don't feel it. Well, you don't have to feel it. You got to believe it. You got to make a choice. Listen, faith comes from the heart, the seat of the will. It's where you, listen, you believe with the heart. That's what the Bible says. You believe with the heart. You make a decision to believe. Now, we read a similar passage in Matthew, but in Mark 11, 22 through 24, Jesus, after He cursed the fig tree, He says, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The key to answered prayer is to believe you receive. It is as simple as that. Have faith in God. Jesus tells us to do something here. Have faith in God. Well, I believe in God. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about the fact that He just cursed a fig tree and it dried up and died that night. And He's talking about the fact that in our lives, if we can have faith that whatever we ask for in prayer, if we'll believe or receive, He says you'll have it. And He says, have faith in God. Jesus doesn't tell you to do anything you can't do. And you see, this perverted idea that, well, either God gives it to you or He doesn't. It's not up to you. That is a perversion. Jesus tells all of us, have faith in God. It's up to us to believe God, to make a decision, a choice to believe God. Have faith in God. Well, I'd like to, Jesus, but I just can't. Have faith in God. You see, faith is the key to receiving miracles, answers to our prayers, receiving what God wants to do in our situation. That puts the responsibility back on us to believe God. You see, we talked about last week partnering with God. God does the supernatural. He has the power. He does the miracles. Our part is just to believe we receive. To have faith in God. That's my part. That's your part. To believe. See, a lot of people want to say, well, it's just all up to God. Just put all the responsibility on God. Well, if things don't change, if I don't get an answer to my prayer, well, you know, it must not have been God's will. It's just the way it is. No, we need to believe God. You know, it's so common in this generation to always want to blame, put the blame somewhere else instead of taking responsibility. Here's our responsibility before God, to believe. Without that, you can't please Him. You're not going to see the blessings, the promises, miracles in your life. No, it takes faith. Get your faith up. See, the truth is that faith is the key to receiving what God wants to do. Well, God's just going to do whatever He wants to do. No, He's going to do what He wants to do when people believe. According to your faith, let it be done to you. That's what He said. Now, if our prayers are really answered according to our faith, then we need to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 1. It's not a wish. It's not a want. It's not just positive thinking or positive confession. It is the substance of things hoped for. It's tangible. It's real. It's beyond mere thoughts. You see, it's the substance of things hoped for. It's real. You can't see it, but it's real. Did you know we understand that principle and operate in that principle almost every day of our life? Right now, do y'all see the radio waves that are working, making this microphone where it's picked up by the sound system back there? Do y'all see those radio waves? But yet you believe, don't you? I hope you do. It'd be a little foolish not to. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. It's real. How can you have something that real that you can't see? It is God's Word. His Word is more real than the things that you see with a natural eye. You see, most people's faith is so weak, he said over and over, he says to people, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Most people's faith is so weak that one phone call from a doctor, from an IRS agent, from a lawyer, and they totally chuck their faith and what God said and go into panic mode, scared to death, freaking out. And Jesus is saying, oh, you of little faith. Why are you fearful? Why did you doubt? Church, we need to get our faith up. We need to believe God's Word more than what the doctor says. More than what the collection agency says. Listen, we need to get our faith up. We need to believe God. Faith comes when we hear God's Word. It is believing what God has said. Now, I'm not going to take time to really go through this passage this morning, but I just want to rattle your cage a little bit. You know, in John chapter 11, when Lazarus was sick, the disciples, they said, we better go to him. You know, people wanted him to come. And Jesus waited two more days until Lazarus was dead. He tells the disciples, okay, now we're going to go. And he tells them very plainly that Lazarus is dead, verse 14. And in verse 15, now listen, he says, Lazarus is dead. And Jesus wept. That's not what it says. People are always trying to say that Jesus wept because his friend Lazarus was dead. He did not. He said, Lazarus is dead, and here's his very next words, and I'm glad. I'm glad for your sake. He wasn't upset. He wasn't crying. His faith wasn't shaken. He waited 2 days till Lazarus died, and he said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sake. Why? How could he be glad for their sake? Listen, that you may believe. Trying to get the doubt out of them and get them to really believe. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that you may believe. There's the real issue. And when Jesus is on his way, he meets Martha and he meets Mary, and they're all crying, and there's all the mourners, and he's trying to tell them, if you'll just believe God, you'll see the glory of God. If you'll just believe, what's the key here? If you'll just believe. Verse 33, it says, when Jesus saw their weeping, the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? And then he wept. Not because Lazarus is dead. No, but all this oppression of unbelief and sadness, it's all around him, and it troubled him in his spirit. He had been places where he could do no great miracle because of the unbelief of the people. And so he comes to the tomb of Lazarus, and here's Mary and Martha and all these people weeping and so much unbelief. And yes, he wept. And then he prays out loud. Why? Listen, Jesus had already done his praying. But he prayed out loud. He says, I've said this so that they might believe. I'm telling you, church, Jesus wants us to believe. He wants us to get our faith up and believe him. Faith is how we overcome. It's how we live. It's how we walk. Faith is how you lay hold of what God has for you, the substance of things hoped for. You see, it's how you lay hold of what God has for you. Faith is how we see spiritually so that we're not bound by what we see in the natural. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is your shield to protect you from the fiery darts of the enemy. You see, every one of us is going to be attacked in some way, whether it's in your body, in your finances, in your mind, in your family, however, but you're going to be attacked. How are you going to protect yourself? With the shield of faith, you quench the fiery darts of the enemy. The shield of faith. Now let me ask you a question this morning. What if it really is according to your faith? Then we better get our faith up. We better build our faith. How do you do that? First of all, Jesus said, through prayer and fasting. It is by prayer and fasting we get that flesh under subjection and our spirit strong so we can believe. It is by prayer and fasting that we are able to see with spiritual eyes and not look at things in the natural. You get your eyes on Jesus instead of on the wind and the waves like caused Peter to sink. It's in prayer and fasting that you focus on Jesus. Jude 20 says, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. How do you build up your most holy faith? Praying in the Holy Spirit. That's how you build up your faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. How else can you build your faith? Through the Word. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, that's one of the reasons it's so powerful. When you speak the Word of God, you're also hearing it. And when you hear the Word, it builds your faith. You know what? When you hear doubt and unbelief, and you see the circumstances of life all around you, and that's your only input, it will tear down your faith. And I'm telling you, in this world, we need a constant diet of the Word of God. Listen, there are not too many of us missing very many meals. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every Word of God. We need to be filling ourselves with the Word of God so that we'll have faith to overcome to have victory, to see miracles, to see answers to our prayers. Instead, we fill our minds with the internet and all kinds of negative comments and stuff from other people and whatever's on the TV set and the attitudes and the philosophies, listen, of a faithless and perverse generation keep us from being able to believe God just like it did the disciples. Now we need to fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God. As we meditate, listen, the Bible says to meditate therein day and night. As you entertain thoughts of the Word of God over and over, it gets down in your heart, and out of your heart come evil things and good things. You see, it's with the heart that you believe. So fill your heart with the Word of God. That's how you build your faith. By the way, in Romans 10 and 17, we always quote that verse about how that faith comes by the hearing of the Word. But if you back up to verse 8, he says, we preach the word of faith. There's a lot of people preaching the word of doubt, preaching the word of maybe, preaching the it's only for a certain few. And I'm telling you, they're undermining people's faith. Jesus came preaching, believe the good news. So should we. The Word will build your faith. Listen, it'll build your faith because when you stay in the Word, you'll see what God is really like. See, a lot of people don't have any faith because they got their mindset and conception of who God is from the TV and the radio and just from Joe Bob and what Mom and Dad said one time and that preacher. Listen, you need to get your concept of who God is straight from the Scripture. When you see who He is and what He's like, how merciful, how loving, how kind, how good He is, I'm telling you, it's not hard to believe. But you're going to have to get that from the Word, because if you're just getting it from the traditions of men, you're going to end up with a whole lot of a boatload of doubt. You've got to see who He is in the Scripture and how He acts and how He deals with His people. And when you do that, it'll build your faith. Because I'm telling you, we're serving a loving, merciful, mighty God, all-powerful, one who says of Himself, I am the Lord who heals you. He says of Himself that He is the Lord our provider. I'm telling you, church, we need to see who He is in the Word, and it'll build your faith. You see in the Word all of the miracles that God has done. And as you study those and meditate those and you fill your mind and your heart with the miracles that God has done all through the Scripture, it'll build your faith to be able to believe God to do miracles in your life as well. Yes. John 20, 30 and 31 says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe. Yes. All those miracles, they're written so that we would believe. Amen. People read them and call them myths and fairy tales and fables. Or people read about the miracles of Jesus and they say, oh, that was nice, that was just for back then. No, these are written that we might believe. I tell you, church, the Word of God will build your faith. It'll build your faith when you give God thanks for past victories. It's amazing how we can forget the miracles, the blessings that God has done. The same thing happened to the children of Israel. Over and over, God would miraculously deliver them, heal them, bring them great victory over their enemies. Over and over and over, those things would happen, and yet they would forget. How often the same thing happens in our lives, where God has brought us through things. He's healed us before. There's been times we didn't know how we were going to pay for something. There's been times that someone came against us and opposed us, and we didn't know what. Listen. God is faithful. The same God who brought you through then, He'll bring you through now. And if you'll focus on those things and realize that God has brought you victory many times and you give thanks for those things, it'll build your faith to believe God in the situation where you are right now. Has He failed you in the past? Has He let you down? No, He's faithful. Then we need to give Him thanks. And as we do that and remember all the things that the Lord has done. Listen, in Chronicles 16, verse 12, it says, "Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgments He pronounced." Listen, as we remember the things that God has done, it builds our faith for what we need right now, to be able to believe Him right now. You know, the disciples watched Jesus feed the 5,000. And He watched Him feed the 4,000. And then they're worried about whether or not they're going to have bread. Matthew 16, 9 and 10. "Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls you gathered, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000? Don't you remember?" I'm saying to you, don't you remember when you didn't know how you were going to make it and God made a way? See, we need to remember the things He's done and give thanks. We build our faith when we give Him praise. When we praise God for who He is. You see, when you praise Him as the Lord, your shepherd, you don't have trouble believing that He'll lead you and guide you. When you praise Him as the Lord, your righteousness, you don't have trouble believing that God can transform you and change your life and wash you by the blood of Jesus. When you believe that He is the Lord, your provider, and you praise Him, you honor Him as the Lord, my provider, it's not hard to believe that He can take care of some material need in your life. When you praise Him as your heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. You just begin to worship Him and praise Him as your Father. Then you don't have a hard time believing that He'll take care of you, that He'll watch over you, that He'll meet your needs, that He'll provide for you. Listen, when you praise Him as a loving, merciful, good God, it's not hard to believe that He will bless you. I tell you this morning, if you want to build your faith, you need to spend time in prayer and fasting. You need to saturate your life with the Word of God. I dare you to get more of the Word than you do of your internet, phone, and friends. "Well, I'll turn into a weirdo." No, you'll turn into a faith person, somebody that's seeing the miraculous in their life and answered prayers. But we fill our minds and our hearts with so much negative slop, it's amazing. It is God's mercy that we see as much as we do. I'm telling you, church, we need to get our faith up and do that by the Word of God. Praise Him for who He is and all that He's done. And give Him thanks. I tell you, it'll build your faith. Well, stand with me. And let's just pray together right now. And I want our prayer partners to come, because I know that today there are some of you that need to get your faith up. And whether you would say, "You know what, I just don't have it, but I want to. I want to get my faith up." You need to come for prayer today, that we'll just believe God and agree together with you. Now, it's not a quick fix. God's not going to zap you with faith. But I'm telling you that you can get your faith up. And it starts with prayer. Some of you this morning, you're getting your faith up. There's some areas in your life, some battles, some unanswered prayers. And you're getting your faith up. Today, you're deciding that you're going to believe God. That you're going to believe you receive. And I just encourage you to come for prayer this morning. Because, listen, if you believe you receive, it'll be done according to your faith. Wow, that's available to us. Father, I thank You for the promises of Your Word. I thank You this morning for the truth of Your Word. Truth that sets free. Free. Oh, it's good news, Lord. Good news. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that every stronghold of doubt and unbelief come down. Father, we stand against the onslaught of the traditions of religious men. We stand against the philosophies of this age. Lord, we stand against those who would make fun. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus that faith would rise in the hearts of Your people, that people will see and know that our God is real. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, I war against that in the Spirit, in Jesus' name, that we'll be strong in faith, that we'll not shrink back in doubt and unbelief, but we'll stand strong in the name of Jesus, that we believe what You have said, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for those that are struggling this morning that today will be a turning point. Lord, that today they're going to latch hold of faith in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for those that are in the midst of a great battle that they'll not be fearful, they'll not doubt, but they'll stand strong in faith in Jesus' name. I thank you for it all. Amen, amen. Well, I'm going to dismiss you, but if you need prayer, I encourage you to come. Whatever the need might be, we'd be glad to pray with you. Lord, bless you. Thank you, Lord.
I'm believing, trusting in creative help.